the windup and the pitch. He swings a line shot. Base hit. Right field. The Tigers win it. Here comes Kaline to score. And it's all over. Don Wirt singles. The Tigers mob Don. Kaline has scored. The fans are streaming on the field. And the Tigers have won their first pennant since 1945. Let's listen to the bedlam here at Tiger Stadium. What a climax to a wonderful year, the year of the Tiger, 1968. This pennant, what a great gift to Detroit, with love from the Tigers.
Go get 'em, Tiger. Row.
We're all behind our baseball team. Go get 'em, Tiger.
Series bound and picking up steam.
Go get 'em, Tiger.
There'll be joy in Tiger Town. We'll sing you songs when the Bengals bring the pennant home where it belongs.
We're all behind our baseball team.
Go get 'em,
Detroit Tigers.
Go get 'em, Tiger.
The year before, troubled Detroiters had too many other problems to be caught up in the four-team fight for the pennant. The Red Sox won in 1967 on the last day of the season, but a new Tiger spirit was forged in the heat of that campaign. They lost a pennant and won a future. One man who saw that future was Bill Freehan. Here's what he said at Lakeland during spring training of 1968.
Bill, can the Tigers do it this year?
Well, Ernie, I'll tell you what, I'm convinced that we can do it. We've got some real good talent. I think we gained something last year by virtue of the fact that we had a lot of young guys who went through an experience we'd never been through before. And I'll tell you what, if we can keep our guys free from injuries, we're going to win in 68.
The year of the Tiger began unhappily. Before 41,429 fans at Tiger Stadium, Earl Wilson hit a home run but lost to the Red Sox. But that next day, that was the tip-off of a whole season of wonderful next days. In the ninth inning, up came Gates Brown with a pinch-hit home run to give rookie John Warden a 4-3 relief victory.
Ray Gates had a special magic with the public. What do you think it was?
Well, I think that he transpired to them a quiet-spoken fellow, a humble-looking guy, but a powerful-looking fellow at the plate who produced. He represented the underdog. In the games that followed, there were two more Tiger victories for relief pitchers, one by Darrell Patterson, the other by Fred Lasher. And the Tigers kept on winning. Nine straight games they won, more than any other Tiger team had put together since 1949. They won a few the easy way, but only a few. They beat the White Sox in the 10th inning on Bill Freehan's single. They came from behind in the 9th on Jim Price's pinch single to tie the Indians, and won it in the 10th on Willie Horton's home run. They took three more victories at Chicago, first sinking the White Sox with three runs in the 10th inning, then sweeping a doubleheader on April 21st. It was a date to remember. The second of those doubleheader victories was Denny McLain's first of the season.
The year of the Tigers swept on in waves of triumph, in fantastic, thrill-packed, last-minute victories. Up to the time they clinched the pennant, the Tigers had won 37 games in the seventh inning or beyond, 29 in their last time at bat. Well, Ray, I guess that's just the mark of a champion, isn't it?
Certainly is. It's almost like it's a magic formula, something that makes a champion. And when you look back to Boston in 1967, Baltimore in 66, those ball clubs had the same ingredients, the ability to come from behind.
Everybody got into the act, pitchers, hitters, fielders. A pinch double by Tom Matzick beat the Orioles on May the 7th. A home run and a magnificent bases-loaded catch by Jim Northam made him the hero of the next Tiger victory. After the game, I talked to Northam.
Jimmy made a great catch in Baltimore, a big catch because the bases were loaded, and you hit the ground there and skidded. How do you keep that ball from bouncing out of the glove in a play like that?
Well, I hit the ground with my shoulder, and I held the glove up off the ground. You just dive and catch the ball, and if you get it in your glove, it usually stays in the web, the way the gloves are built now.
Did you think you were going to get to that drive off the bat of Robinson?
No, when he first hit it, I didn't figure I had a chance to even come close to it. And we just started running over there after it, and all of a sudden I dove at the ball, and I was just lucky enough to catch it.
And Denny McLane kept right on winning ballgames. Al Kaline drove in 6 runs as the Tigers walloped the Senators 12-1 on May 10th. Another date to remember. But that put the Tigers back into the league lead, and nobody ever caught them.
McLane lost his first game of the year when the Orioles broke his 5-game winning streak on May 15th. But the Tigers then took 3 out of 4 from the Senators. Jim Northrup won the first with a ninth-inning Grand Slam homer. After the Tigers had lost the second, Gates Brown won the third with an eighth-inning pinch single. And history was made as the Tigers won the fourth.
One out. Matthews on at first. 3-2 the count to Kaline, batting in the place of Gates Brown. Tigers out in front, 4-0. We're in the bottom of the sixth inning. Jones working for Washington on the mound. Stretches. Delivers. There goes the runner. Fly ball to deep left. And that one you can kiss goodbye. Kaline's home run with Matthews on base makes it 6-0 with the Tigers. Kaline now has hit 307 home runs in his career and becomes the Tigers' all-time home run hitter, going one ahead of Hank Greenberg. He was tied with Greenberg at 306. He now has 307 for his Major League career and becomes the Tigers' number one home run hitter.
The next day, the Tigers beat the Twins on a 10th-inning error. But first,
Hernandez about as far right as you'll ever see a shortstop play, even on an overshifted infield, which they're not doing here on Willie. Here's a fly ball to right. It's deep, and it is out of here. A home run to tie the ball game. Willie Horton hits one to the opposite field in deep right center, and the game is tied.
Bad news on the first trip to the West Coast. Earl Wilson on the shelf 3 weeks after bruising his heel. Al Kaline out 37 games when his right arm was broken at Oakland by a Lou Krause pitch. A 10th-inning loss in the Oakland final, punctuated by a free-for-all fight after Jack Aker hit Jim Northrup in the head with a pitch. But there was good news, too. Denny McLane won his 7th game of the year. And on May 27th, Eddie Matthews hit 2 home runs for a career total of 512, putting him 6th among all-time home run sluggers of Major League history. Pat Dobson, normally a relief pitcher, went 9 innings as he threw a shutout at the Red Sox in his first start. One night when both Bill Freehan and Jim Price were hurt, Wayne Comer, an outfielder, came in to catch and did a good job. And the year of the Tiger rolled on with a thrill almost every night. On June 11th, the Tigers beat the Twins for their 13th last inning victory. And on June 12th,
here's McAuliffe now, and the crowd yelling, go, go, go. Here's a pitch by Jim Cott. Max swings. There's a long fly to right. It may be gone. Going back, Ulander, and he cannot reach it. It's in for a home run. McAuliffe puts the Tigers ahead. A home run in the lower deck in right field. The Tigers lead it 2-1.
And Denny McLane raced on toward his date with destiny.
On a curve. 1-2. Clark leaning and waiting. Here comes a swing and a miss. The game's over. The Tigers sweep the series as they win the final one here under sunny skies and behind the great pitching of Denny McLane. In the ninth inning, Minnesota, no runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. The final score, Detroit 3, Minnesota 1.
Those late-inning victories, one of the most thrilling, came on June the 14th at Chicago.
As Bob Cooley delivers the word, long drive to left field, going back is Ward. By the fence, that ball is gone. Home run. Bob Worth reaches
the seats in lower deck of left field, about 20 feet there. As they jumped on that first pitch, and that puts the Tigers out in front now, 6-5 here in the top of the 14th inning.
Mickey Stanley was as great with his glove as with his bat.
Swing, and there's a drive to deep right center. Stanley going after it and dives and makes a great catch. A fabulous catch by Stanley. Aparicio going back to first base. He's doubled off. The play went Stanley to Dick McAuliffe to Bill Freehan on a sensational catch by Mickey Stanley.
Mickey, on that great catch in Chicago, how did you get such a good jump on the ball?
Well, Ernie, it was a time where I was in a slump with a bat, and when I am in a slump with a bat, I'm just a little bit better feeler, and I was on my toes and ready to go, and it was just one of the things where I got a real good jump, and I was lucky to catch the ball. I didn't think I was going to catch it. I skinned both elbows and both knees and tore my britches and sweatshirt, and Louis Aparicio was a runner, and we doubled him off at first. He was almost to third base.
Mickey, generally, when you have a play like this, do you anticipate and move one way or the other depending on the batter?
Well, I do. This is a day when Joe Sparman was pitching, and I followed the play of the ball, and I think this was a breaking ball inside, and McGraw is more or less a pull hitter, and I think I cheated a half a step by following the pitch.
And you know ahead of time what the pitch is going
to
be?
No, I don't know what the pitch is going to be, but I follow the flight of the ball, and I can tell before the ball reaches the hitter whether or not it's going to be a breaking ball or a fastball or whether or not the ball is going to be inside or outside.
Manager Mayo Smith later said that, in his personal opinion, that was the outstanding fielding play of the season.
Time and again, Tiger power smothered the opposition. Dick Trzewski beat the Indians with a home run and talked about it after the game.
Dick, it's been said that your three-run homer against Cleveland was perhaps one of the turning points for the first half of the Tigers' season. Did it come as a surprise to you?
A very definite surprise, in particular because I hit it off Sam McDowell, and I got a real big kick out of it because it came in a spot where it really helped our ball club.
Nobody out. Northrup tonight struck out twice and got a grand slammer that came in the fifth inning, his ninth home run of the year. Fly ball down the line in the right field, and that one is gone. Wilbur, talk about coming out of slumps. He's done it again. Another grand slam home run by Northrup.
The Tigers have ratted for three to pull within one run of the Yankees. Yanks 5, Detroit 4. Now Talbot getting his sign from Fernandez, and the right-hander winds and pitches. Swing, there's a long belt in the center field. Robinson going back, way back. He can't get this one. It's passed into the fence. Here comes Stanley. He scores. Rounding third is Freehan. He scores. Willie Horton rounding third, and he holds up as the throw comes into Fernandez. It's a long triple for Willie, and the Tigers have the lead. 6-5, favor Detroit.
Kaline returned to action in a new role, playing first base for the first time in his career on July 1st. And he had a big piece of the action as the Tigers won the first game.
2-2 to count to Al. Stanley at third base, nobody out. Angels have the infield pulled in. Brunette now pumps, delivers. Fastball, line to left, base hit. Stanley scores from third, and Kaline on with a single. He ripped that one between short and third in the left field. Tigers go out in front, 2-1.
After the game, I asked Kaline how he liked first base.
Oh, I think I'm going to like it quite a bit, Ernie. It's very interesting over there. I get a chance to talk to all the visiting players, the umpires, and I get a chance to find out what's really happening in the ball game. You know, I played so many years in the outfield, you just wonder what happens when everybody goes to the mound. Now I'm finally learning what they say and everything, and I think I'm going to really enjoy it.
That set off a four-game sweep over the Angels and a five-game winning streak for the Tigers. The third victory was Denny McClain's 15th of the season, achieved with the help of home runs by Willie Horton, Norm Cash, and Dick Krasinski. Then came the real wild one on the 4th of July, when the Tigers belted out a 13-10 victory in a slugfest that saw them smash six home runs to tie a major league record. Listen to some of the fireworks, including part of the Tigers' nine-run second inning.
Swing, there's a long belt to right, a home run by Cash, and it hits the roof of the upper deck. It hit the roof over the third deck, a two-run homer by Cash, and the Tigers have scored eight times in this inning.
Go get 'em, Tiger.
Rawr. There's a long belt to left, and that one's gone. The home run upstairs. Number 20 for Willie Horton. The Tigers now have scored nine times in the second inning.
We're all behind our baseball team.
Go get 'em.
Detroit Tigers.
Go get 'em, Tigers.
Full count pitch served up to Jim. Fly ball, hit the deep left field, going back by the fence is Riker, it's gone! Jim Russell hits home run number 12. He goes to the opposite field, he clears the fence in left center. And he picks up an RBI, that gives him 50. For the season. I'm going to say one thing about Jim. He is not choosy where he gets the four baggers. He'll go to right, he'll go to left. Fly ball from Norm Cash. It's deep. That ball may be gone. Kirkpatrick by the fence. It's upstairs. Home run.
Behind our baseball team.
Go get them.
Detroit Tigers.
Go get them, Tigers.
There was one series left before the All-Star game. The Tigers made it the big one by winning three out of four games from the Athletics at Detroit. And at the All-Star game, halfway part of the season, the Tigers' 27 games over 500 were 9.5 games in front of the American League pack. But you know, Mayo Smith told me right after All-Star time that he thought the most important thing that happened in that first half of the season was that three-run homer by Dick Krasinski that stopped the Tigers' skid in Cleveland. Another thing that impressed me in the first part of the season was the fact that the experts had all said that the weakness of the Tigers would be the bullpen. And the Tigers came up with these young arms, Darryl Patterson, John Warden, Pat Dobson in the bullpen, and then Johnny Wyatt came along to help out.
Wyatt, who came on, and a question mark as far as his ability, maybe with a couple of other clubs, but he seemed to do the job for the Tigers.
And Ray Orland's great feelings, especially there in the early part of the year, plus the fact that we were having a hero per day for about two or three weeks. Now the city was warming up to these Tigers. This team of destiny was becoming the second most important factor in the life of Detroit. The most important was the peace and harmony of the summer. And it was a Tiger summer. The Tigers went into a little slump, losing three in a row, one at Minnesota, the next two at Anaheim. But things went better at Oakland. McClain again, naturally. His 18th was an eight-hit shutout over the Athletics. 2 days later, Earl Wilson, back in form, made it two out of three in the series. Home to Detroit came the Tigers, the series of the Orioles.
In the first game, Willie Horton made a diving attempt for a fly ball. Nearly had it. Then lost it after rolling over several times and seemed to be badly hurt. Ernie talked about it later.
Well, first thing I thought was my knee hit me in the stomach, but it just, you know, it really was a great pain and knocked the wind out of me mostly, and I kind of tore my stomach muscle.
Did you think you had a shot at that catch when you started?
Well, I had it. I was looking at the film, and I had the ball long enough for the umpire to call the man out, and that's one thing I really love, you know, my center fielder, Mickey. He always look out for me. He always be the first one there with me, and he told me don't move. That's so fun. All the way through my career, like every time something happened to me, he always be the first one to me. Been together so long, and I guess I'm more concerned of him also, you know, and it's just one of them things. He just always be the first one out there.
Then it was Matthew turned to star.
Two out, a man on first, that's freehand. Tigers are churning by one run, 4-3 behind Baltimore. Here's Magic now waiting on a full count delivery by Drabowski. Swung on, there's a fly ball to right. It's deep, it might be. Back is Robinson, and it is a home run! Tigers are out at home plate to meet him. Here he comes, and the Tigers win the ball game by a score of 5-4.
Tom, when the home run went in there and you realized it was a home run, were you too excited to know that it won the game, or did you realize that?
No, I knew we won the game when I knew the home run was gone. Ernie, I just got some kind of great feeling. All I could think of was that it put us really two more games ahead of Baltimore.
At Baltimore a week later, it was Darryl Patterson's turn to star.
I go to a full count with two gone. Everybody will be moving. Now the windup, the 3-2 pitch. Called strike three. As Johnson took a fastball to the knees, Odom coming up with the right hand. And Darryl Patterson does a great job with the bases loaded. Then setting down Valentine, Robinson, and Johnson on strikes. That's Patterson's best job done so far in a Tiger uniform. For the Orioles from the sixth, no runs, two hits, no Detroit errors, three men left on base for the Orioles. We've played six innings. Tigers lead 2-0.
The next night, July 27th, was a milestone. Denny McClain won his 20th victory. Number 21 for Denny was his second straight shutout, a 4-0 win over the Senators. Dick McAuliffe scored all four runs after getting four straight hits. Now to Minnesota for three games. The first won by the relief combination of Don McMahon, John Hiller, and Darryl Patterson. Then a loss to Dean Chant. But after that, you guessed it, Denny McClain again. His 22nd, his fifth in a row over the Twins. August 6th, Shrine Night at Tiger Stadium, and what a ball game. It lasted 17 innings before Dick Tchaikovsky settled it with a single for a 2-1 Tiger victory over the Indians. It was too late to finish the second game of the doubleheader, but the Tigers completed the 5-2 victory when the ninth inning was played the next night. And then in the regular game, Willie Horton's 27th home run and rookie Dave Campbell's first gave Earl Wilson a 6-1 victory. And Denny McClain, who else, finished off a four-game sweep with number 23.
The Red Sox came to town in third place, closing in on Baltimore just 3.5 games back. And the Sox won the first game on Joe Foy's grand slam. But then, in a series of dramatic events, highlighted by Gates Brown's hitting, the Tigers smashed their way to victory in the next three.
Campbell, Comer, and Price have batted in that ninth spot as pinch hitters so far this afternoon. Al Brown. Comer did all right. He had a home run. Now the 2-0 pitch. Long drive to right field. Backing up is Harrelson. It's gone. Home run. The ball game for the Tigers, 5-4 in 14 innings.
Strike two count on Mickey. Here it comes. He taps one over the mound. Back into center field for a base hit. Freehand rounding third. He's coming home. McCormick goes to third. Another run in for the Tigers. 5-4 the score. And these Tigers just won't quit. They've got a man at first and third and one out. And that man at third is the tying run. It's 5-4, the Red Sox lead in the last half of the ninth inning. Man on third, McAuliffe. 5-4, Boston leading in the ninth inning. Man on first is Stanley. To set the pitch. Swung on a looping drive to right, it's in. The ball game's tied. McAuliffe scores. Racing for third is Stanley. K-line safe at first.
It is a tie game, 5-5 in the ninth. The set, and Brown waits. The pitch, swung on, a bounding ball to first base. It's through for a base hit. The Tigers win the ball game. Bob Gates Brown, and this crowd is going berserk as the Tigers win the doubleheader, getting the second game with a rally of four runs in the ninth inning to win it by a score of 6-5. And what a mad mob this is at Tiger Stadium tonight.